We're studying systematic theology. Systematic theology. We're studying about angels. And we've come up to the point where we're talking about Satan. Satan. This guy. Satan.
Nope.
Did that wrong? Satan. Now, what was Satan's name before it was Satan?
Lucifer.
Hillel. Hillel. Now, Hillel is the word that Jerome translated Lucifer. Lucifer. Which comes from the Latin lucere, which means to shine. The doctrine of the devil is where we are in my book, if you have that. The doctrine of the devil. There's two of them right there. And if you need to share them, it's the lesson number 7. We're going to refer to this some. And you can write notes in this as we go along. Because you're going to see some things here that maybe you did not see before. Arabic.
Oh, they're extra?
Yeah, this is all. Yeah.
No, these are.
Yeah, there's two there. That you can look at with. The Arabic is Iblis. And it's talking about the slinking whisperer. The slinking whisperer. And we get the title, one of Satan's titles is the Nahash, or the Tanin also, the serpent. And of course, he took on the serpent's, Satan's spirit entered into the serpent, the Nahash, in the garden. And the serpent relinquished his right to say no and obeyed Satan. And through the Nahash, or the serpent, Satan spoke to the woman. Now, would you think the woman would have spoken to Satan if it had showed up there as a shining one?
Probably not.
Just think about that. Satan always slips in under the door, doesn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Do you think that the woman would have talked to Satan without being disguised? Now, can you give me a scripture for that? Let's think about it for a minute. Do you think the woman would have talked directly to Satan? Do you think she knew who he was? Sure. Sure she knew who he was. And he was not ugly. He's very handsome, you know. Movie star, so to speak. Not person. You think that she would have talked to him? The Bible says that the woman was deceived by deception.
Mm-hmm.
That the woman was deceived. So, the way Satan chose to deceive the woman was through the snake. And it says Nahash in the third chapter of the book of Genesis, and it says that the serpent became deceptive. Arum. Evil. He wasn't created that way either, was he? The serpent was a very beautiful being, I'm sure, also. There are people that just love snakes. And there are people that absolutely have snake phobia. But snakes, if you look at them, their colors are beautiful. And usually the more beautiful the colors, the more deadly the snake. Okay? That's the way it is. Now, first of all, Satan has a work, doesn't he? He has a sphere. Now, Brother Ray, is Satan real?
Well, that's all.
You don't think he's a figment of imagination? It's not. He's not just a term for evil or everything that's bad. He is really a real person. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Now, originally he was Hillel, the light carrier. As we go into Ezekiel 28 and Isaiah 14, let's look at that just for a moment. Ezekiel 28 and Isaiah 14. Now, I want you to see something. Now, I did a message the other day on Mark, and we talked about the evil. We talked about the end times, and we talked about Satan, and we talked about how that Satan has used religion, has used false religion to combat and oppose the truths down through the ages. Is that true? We have church history chart up here. We see that all along. Okay? Now, let's look and see in verse number 11 of Ezekiel 28 chapter. Now, this is what kind of a prophecy, Marilyn? What kind of prophecy is this? Do you remember?
Prophecy.
Yeah, what kind of prophecy is this prophecy in Ezekiel 28? Sharon, do you know? A dual prophecy, a double prophecy, two.
Okay.
Talking about two different things. One thing does not apply to the other, but it does apply in judgment. So let's look and see what it says in verse number 11. Then the word of the Lord came to me saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation. And who is this person? Who's God talking to here?
Ezekiel.
Upright, Ezekiel. He says, Son of man, take up a lamentation over the king of Tyre and say to him, Thus saith the Lord God, this saith Jehovah Elohim, you have the seal of perfection full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Now, think about that for a minute. Was the king of Tyre really like that?
No.
No. Who's this talking about?
Satan.
This is Hillel. This is Hillel. He became Satan. Alright? When God created Lucifer, he was perfect. God does not create anything corrupt. I want you to understand that. Evil and good are not eternally coexistent. Did you know that? Satan was a created being. But he's a created being with supernatural powers. We talk about the strings of mathematics. And we talk about the 10 and maybe the 11th dimension. How many dimensions does man live in? Do you remember? Vincent?
Three-dimensional
time. We have a three-dimensional world. We are in this three-dimensional world. But we know that there's at least 7 or 8 more dimensions upon that. And Satan has no problem going between those dimensions. He has no problem. Because he's supernatural. We live in the natural world. Now, here is eternity past. In eternity past, was there a natural world created?
Yes.
Yes. That's in Genesis 1 and 1. Barashith, Bara, Elohim, Eth Hashemayim, Weth Haaretz. It says, in one of the beginnings, he had created God, the heavens, the universe, and then we Eth Haaretz. And then he placed the earth in exactly the right place. Is that a physical universe? Is that a natural world?
Yes.
were there natural animals on that world?
Yes.
Now, I mean, a lot of people are going to disagree with this, but there were many types of beasts and animals back at that time. Now, God, because he is omniscient, and because God can see the beginning from the end, God created the earth, and he created the heavens, and how much of the heavens were destroyed, we do not know, but we know that there were two Edens, weren't they? Let's read about this other Eden. You had the seal of perfection and wisdom and perfect and beauty, and you were in Eden, the garden of God. Now, the king of Tyre was not in Eden, was he? Okay, so this is the first Eden, and when was this Eden? When does this Eden exist? In eternity past. Okay. Then there were animals there. And there was vegetation there. And the vegetation and much of the animal, or some of the animal kingdom in the Genesis, the first chapter, were just what we call revitalized. Because they were already there. The seeds were already there. Everything was from the first creation. The earth that was. Okay? And so in eternity past, there was a material and a spiritual world, weren't there? And there was probably at least 10 or 11 dimensions. There may be 50 dimensions. I don't know. This is just what the mathematicians say. Yes, Brother Benson.
Quick question. Was Adam, he was created in eternity past and was
no,
created?
No.
That was in
eternity Adam past. Was not created in eternity past, no. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Now, he's created in time. The earth was created in eternity past.
Okay.
And many animals, and maybe even man-like creatures, whatever, were there. We have fossil proof of this.
Mm-hmm.
Though people want to say, oh, that's not true. Because they want to believe that the earth is only 6,000 years old, which is not what the Bible says.
Okay.
The earth was created in eternity past. Things happened there. Now, why did God allow animal life and vegetation and eternity past? Why did he put that there?
Well, when they died, they created oil.
That's good. Very good, Marilyn. Her father was the vice president of Mobil Oil Company, so she ought to know a little bit about oil. In eternity past, God decided he would put animals and vegetation on the earth. Now, he revitalized the vegetation at least. And we know that because the earth had seeds in it, so he caused the seeds to sprout, and when he made light again. And so God created all this looking ahead. In our time right now, in the end times, there's greed all over the world, isn't there?
Mm-hmm.
Greed and pride. Greed and pride is what has caused all the wars, and basically all the wars were created by religions. I don't know, in modern times, of any true religion that ever started a war. Do you understand what I just said?
Mm-hmm.
We know that Baptists, When America became America, basically, when it became the United States of America, that Baptists gathered together, and they had been run all over the world from one place to the other by Islam and Catholicism, killed, and they drained their blood, they dripped their blood. How many of you watched the movie Moby Dick? How many of you watched the movie Moby Dick? It's a great movie.
Mm-hmm.
One of my friends did the filming on that. Ross Dunham.
I've seen Tom and Jerry's version of it.
Yeah. Anyway, they were going after this whale. And they went after this whale, and old Captain Ahab said, how many of you give blood to temper these swords? To douse the blood in. And they all, hey, hey, hey. And he was giving them rum, you know. And so they drained, it didn't show you that, but they drained their blood into a basin and they dipped the harpoons in that to temper them. All right. to temper that. Well, when the Baptists were going to fight for the revolution, they drained their blood and they dipped their swords in it, and they said, we will not put our swords back until we have freedom. That's the only time in the history of the world. And they weren't conquering anybody. They weren't going to do anything. They just wanted to have freedom of religion. The first free colony in the world was Rhode Island in America.
Mm-hmm.
And they begged for that establishment of a colony in America. All of them were church-state colonies. Because mm-hmm. the world didn't know anything else except Baptists. And the Baptist, Roger Williams and Dr. John White, they petitioned for the King of England to give them an experiment of freedom of religion. And that was Rhode Island. You could be anything you wanted to. And you weren't taxed. They did not take out of your wages or out of your farm or anything that you did. They did not take money out of it where you had to tithe to the state. You could voluntarily tithe.
Amen.
All the rest of it was involuntary.
Amen.
So we have this. We don't have true religion other than Israel, when God told Israel to go into the land of Canaan and kill all those people. I've had so many people tell me that I wouldn't worship a God that would tell somebody to go in there and kill all the animals, all the children, all the babies, and everything else. That's what God told them to do, wasn't it?
Yep.
Why? Now we know they were full of disease. Full of disease, and some of these were those hybrids. Angels and mankind. Oh, they went in there and they didn't do all of that. Were any of those Canaanites ever saved? Yeah. Well, we have two of them in the lineage of Jesus Christ, mm-hmm. Ruth, the Moabitess, and we have, who was the other one?
The prostitute,
Rahab the prostitute. Okay. Now let's go on down a little bit further. Now, war has always been totally started by religions most of the time. Conflict. You had the seal of perfection. He said you were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering. The ruby, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, and the lapis, and the turquoise, and the emerald, the gold, and the workmanship of your settings and sockets was in you. On the day we were created, you were prepared. You were the anointed cherub. The anointed cherub, the one picked out. Now, this animal that took Mohammed up into the seventh heaven, he said, and carried him all the way from Mecca to Jerusalem, to the furthest mosque, he said, which wasn't even there, but this is what Muhammad said. The animal that he ran into was this description right here. Do you think that he might have had something to do with his inspiration of his religion, at least that part of it? You are the anointed cherub who covers, and I placed you there, and we're on the holy mountain of God. What does mountain in the Bible mean? You remember that, Vincent? Mountain. What's mountain mean in the Bible? Maryland. Government. Government. Governments, governments, governments. The seven hills of the book of Revelation are seven governments. Okay? The holy mountain of God, and you walked in the midst of the stones of fire. That's right in the throne room of God, and you were blameless in your ways from the day you were created until unrighteousness was found in you and the abundance of your trade, and you were in internally filled with violence, and you sinned, and therefore I cast you down profane from the mountain, the government of God. And how much did he take with him? You old covering cherub. How many other beings did he take with him? One-third of spiritual and angelic forces. Malak. That's the word for angel in Hebrew. It's angelos. We get our word angel in English from the Greek word angelos. Now, angels are supernatural. Angels are triune in nature. They are made in the image of God. You hear that?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people say angels only do hell. But are angels clothed beings?
Yes.
Yeah, they have form. All right? Evidently, they can change their form. Now, we also know that people messing around with the supernatural world in seances and in witchcraft and all of this, they have apparitions appear to them. If there's an apparition that appears to them, it will be from an angel, from the dark side. Now, spirits, now angels are Malek and Angelos. Spirits are Ruach. Say Ruach.
Ruach.
It's like clearing your throat. Ruach. And Pneumah. Yes, Vincent.
Can people see angels nowadays?
Yes.
Because I know Mary did, right? Was it Mary? Or...
It appeared. Yes, the angel Gabriel appeared to Mary and appeared to Joseph in a hypnotic trance, in a dream. Every time that an angel appears or spoke, when it's usually Gabriel, they're in a dream state. They're in a hypnotic. The word Greek word is hypnose. So they're in a hypnotic trance. God appeared to Pharaoh. He appeared to Abimelech. He talked to
Abraham.
Abraham. He talked to old Whitey. Remember? Laban.
Whitey.
Laban means Whitey.
Yeah, who's that?
Laban. He talked to Laban. He said, "Don't you dare say one thing good or bad about Jacob. Don't dare." Ooh. And we see that God has appeared and used angels to appear to people, and God himself has spoken to people in hypnotic trances. Okay? That's fact. Now here, it says, by the multitude of your sins and the unrighteousness of your trade and his discourse, you profane your sanctuaries. What is a sanctuary? It's a hallowed place. You profaned Eden. He profaned Eden. Eden was the throne room. Beautiful throne room. God made another Eden in the book of Genesis, and he placed man in that because man was on the throne. Therefore I brought you fire from amidst of you, and has consumed you, and have turned you into ashes on the earth, and the eyes of all who will see you, all who will know you among the peoples are appalled at you, and will be terrified, and you will be no more, and that is here. He won't be burned up, but he'll be burning forever. He's a triune. Physical, soul, and spirit. What's the word for soul in Greek? Psyche. Psyche. What's the word for soul in Hebrew? Nefesh. We have all this. Now, do all animals have souls?
Yes.
Absolutely. That's what the Hebrew Bible says. I don't care what some theologian says, but the Hebrew Bible says that they have souls. And they have ruah, and they have basar. Basar is flesh, ruah spirit, and nefesh is soul. And is man made up of body, basar, flesh, sarx in the New Testament, pneuma, a ruah, and is he nephesh also, spirit, or soul? We see this. Now, the origin of Satan was of his own making. Do you understand what I just said? The origin of Satan was he created himself. God created Hallel.
Mm-hmm.
Lucifer created Satan. The opposer. Satan. The opposer. Satan in Greek just comes right from the Hebrew. We have the word Lucifer that comes from the Latin Vulgate. It's Hallel, or the shining one. Let's go on a little further. Isaiah 14 says that he ascended into heaven, the third heaven, and tried to oppose God, didn't it? And God threw him down to the earth. Let's go on in our little doctrine of the devil, number 7. The reality of Satan, he's real. The origin and former estate of Satan, the origin of Satan is himself. His former perfect creation was Hillel, the shining one, the light carrier. God created the light carrier, and Satan, because he had volition, and we have volition, we are what we make of ourselves, aren't we? Now, God calls all men unto himself, doesn't he? The Spirit of God calls all men unto salvation, is what the Bible says. Now, the superlapsarians say, well, he's only calling the elect. He calls all men. And especially the elect. Okay? He was created full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. He was created sinless in character. He was a part of the and a leader in the government of God, exercising authority over other angels under divine authority. And when he's usurped God, when he's usurped his powers above God, God cast him off. Now, according to Isaiah, his dominion was the earth, at least, if not all the heavenly bodies, all the cosmos. Maybe he was over all of it. The word for planet means in an order. God says, Barashit bara elhim et hashamayim v'et ha'aretz. Now the word hashamayim there means order. Cosmos means order. You girls put lipstick on some more than some of you and put your hair in order and braided it and done all kinds of make yourself look like you didn't just fall out from somebody. Girls like to set themselves in order. That's the word cosmos. That's where we get the word cosmetics is from that, to set in order. Now God created all things in order and not a chaos and not a catastrophe. They were all order. And then Satan created disorder in the world, material world, and in the spiritual world, he has created chaos. Why do we have all these churches? Why do we have all these religions? Because of Satan. Confusion. The rebellion of Satan against God was an absolute fact, Ezekiel 28 and Isaiah 14. Now, he has many, many titles. Many titles. And his actions are part of his titles. I don't know why they named me Sugar Me After Tonka. I have a naming feather at home, and that was my name. The wolf that follows the buffalo herds. Now, one of my relatives a long time ago was called Crazy Horse. Crazy Horse. And another one was called Man Afraid of His Horses. And the Indians named their people by what they did. Crazy Horse. He had a vision. He saw in a vision horses dancing around in a crazy manner. And he told about his vision that he had this horses dancing around crazy. And they had signs and symbols on them, and he placed all those symbols and signs on those horses, and they called him Crazy Horse. And then one of my other relatives was called Man Afraid of His Horses. Young Man Afraid of His Horses, and Old Man Afraid of His Horses. Now, that's not a very good explanation or translation in English of what they were. Because what it merely meant is that when the enemy saw his horses in battle, they were afraid of his horses. So he's the man whose enemies are afraid of his horses without ever seeing him. When they see his horses in battle, because he would take several horses and he'd all have these, they're decorated in that way, say, ooh boy, Man Afraid of His Horses is here. He's here. All right? And in the Bible, names mean something very much. It's like Native American culture. Those names mean. Adal He was the first Adam. Adam means blood. He was of the earth. This is his location. This is where he's created. That's why his name is Adam. The word for earth is Ha-Adamah. And here we have Ha-Adam. Ha-Adam. The Adam and the earth that he is related to. So Satan is not an impersonal force. He is a real person. Does he think? Does Satan think? Does he reason? Did he do that in the fourth chapter of the in the third chapter and the fourth chapter of the book of Revelation? I mean, of Genesis, that is. Not Revelation, but Genesis. Now, the work of Satan, what does he do? What does Satan play? What kind of role and what does Satan do? He's the prince and power of the world, isn't he?
Deception.
He deals in corruption in the social, political, and economic fields. Social. What's social mean? What's social mean?
People's relationship with each other.
Huh?
People's relationship
to each other. Yeah. How people deal with each other. Vincent, can you see the influence of Satan in the social order of our world? Mm-hmm. How about in the political world? Oh! Wow! Governments?
Well, aliens are running that White House.
How about economics? The love of money is the root of all evil. Do we have this? Does Satan ever give somebody great power of making money?
Yeah.
Does God ever do it? Yeah. God. One nation has made more money, one genetic group of people has made more money and controlled more money in the history of the world than the Jews. And he blessed them that way. Not always to the good have they done that. I preached a sermon, The Acts of Satan. We went down through time and we looked at that. I preached another sermon all about Satan. We look at this. He's the God of this age, it says. The God of this world is what it says, but actually it's the God of this age. He founds religions more than anybody. God only called out two religions in the history of the world. Did you know that?
Mm-hmm.
He called out Abraham, and that became the what we call Judaism or the Mosaic Law or whatever over here. During this period of time, he calls him out. He told Adam to what? He had a real simple thing. Just don't touch that tree over there. Don't have anything to do with that tree. It's not yours. And worship me. And then we have the age of conscience, which was to do good and offer blood sacrifice after the fall. And they did all kinds of wickedness. This is the sixth chapter. And this is where we find the attributes of Satan spread out among his fallen angels through mankind. And we see all of the disorder in the world and the greed and slavery. We saw human government of the Noah. He told them to scatter and go out and live like Indians. That's what he told them to do. And you'll have less diseases and you'll be healthier and everything. And what did they do? They built big cities. Let me just tell you, God blesses people sometimes simply because they're doing what he told them to do. They're following his order. The American Indian people over here, they did worship God in an imperfect way. But they worshiped what revelation and light they had. But one thing that they did is they lived a nomadic lifetime and they trusted in God every day to feed them. And to take care of the animals out there so they'd have more food to eat. And they did that. And you know what? They were living to 120, 30, 40, and 50 years, while Europeans were dying at 35 and 40 years old of old age. You know why? Because they were doing the wrong thing. When they came to this continent over here, they thought this was Eden, the lost paradise. They did. No weeds. Many weeds over here. Fruit all over the place. Except the Indians had planted it. They had melons. They had beans. They had peppers. They had corn that they had genetically developed. When Crook went into the Apache Nation, he was going to teach them to be farmers and get off the warpath. They were the greatest farmers in the West. You didn't have to teach them to be farmers. What they want in there, they burned down their farms and cut down their orchards. They had rancherias all over the place. What the government, the greed of the government wanted was their land. Mm-hmm. Greed, 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 greed. And they didn't want to let them live like they lived. They didn't want to live at peace with them. When the missionaries came to the American continent, the Indians believed the message. But they found out the messengers were corrupt. And they finally just wouldn't have anything to do with it at all. Satan uses cultism and occultism to further his false religion. The occult is what we call paranormal things. People are studying the stars. Remember, we studied the last time we talked about, there was an angel that actually introduced astrology, wasn't it? A fallen angel. He introduced astrology and all of this, and we see all of this today. Every newspaper's got a horoscope in it, doesn't it? Doesn't it? That's the occult. We have Satan worship. And a worship of spirits. And communication with spirits, don't we? And the paranormal activities. People write books about it all the time, don't they? And, you know, they say that the police forces in every town, every big city, that is, use some of the occult people, spiritualists, mm-hmm. to help them guide to some mysterious murder. Mm-hmm. We have sectarian splits and offshoots of churches and the acceptance of false doctrines because of satanic influence. Religion is man's work. Most religion is man's works, the works of man's hands, secondarily by the inspiration of Satan. He's called the prince and the power of air in Ephesians 2 and 2. We see Job. Job went through all the problems that he has for us. Did you know that? Job was a victim. Do you realize that he was a victim? But Job, God used Job to teach us things, and Job is the oldest book in the Bible. It must have been very important. Satan dominates the airwaves on television and radio. Do you believe that? God created those frequencies and spheres, and man is using them. They even sell off frequencies. They do. And what theirs to begin with? It's God's. But they make money on it. We find the destruction of man from the sixth chapter of the book of Genesis. Before man was ever even given animal meat to eat, they were killing and destroying animals. And they were killing mankind with weapons of destruction, which were introduced into the human race by the angelic world. The doom of Satan. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And it says also, the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The end of Satan is coming, people. I'm really be glad of that. His doom is prophesied in Genesis, the third chapter and verse 15, but it also promises what? Antichrist to come. That Satan will bring forth his children into the world. His eternal doom is certain. Now, let me tell you some of the titles of Satan, some of the names and titles of Satan. Satan, for one, means the one who opposes. Satan goes from the Hebrew into the Greek, Satan. And Hallel, that's a good name. But Lucifer, or Luke, is a real good name. God created Lucifer. Satan created himself. Diabolos. Diabolos means what? The one who just kills. It means literally to throw a spear through somebody. And we have the word dragon. Dragon. Drakon or Tanin. Tanin and a dragon is a supernatural being. And we have in Revelation, we talked about the great red dragon, doesn't it? The great red Leviathan of old. A dragon. He's called the anointed cherub. He was the anointed cherub, wasn't he? Called Hallel. He's called an enemy and a murderer in John 8 and 44. He's called the wicked one. He's called the man of sin. He's called a thief. He's called a roaring lion. He's called a liar. The angel of light. He's called Beelzebub and Belial. Called the old serpent. He's called the adversary. He's called the deceiver of the whole world. The evil one. The wicked one, the thief. What is thievery? What is the thief? What is the thief? What is the thief? Somebody that wants not to earn something, but they want to steal it. They have not earned the right to have it, but they want to take it from somebody else, and they will instantly possess it, like instant potatoes, TV dinners, you know. Have this without cooking it, you know. The whole deal was, women at one time were the cooks, mainly. Now, I was always a cook in my home. And your father was a cook in your home, Carol. But most of the time, that's an occupation, people. It takes a lot of time. And when they have this TV dinners and everything and instant potatoes, it's having it right now. It's kind of stealing time, isn't it? We call it saving time. We're stealing time in all reality. We see Satan, how that he deceives the world in religion. Politics, social order, and spiritual order, doesn't he? Satan is trying to steal God's people. Did you know that? He's trying to steal God's people. We look at the book of Job and we see all types of supernatural behavior in there, don't we? You ever... Well, let's look at it this way. When you're Satan's, he don't bother you much, does he? He might even give you abilities and powers to do what you want to do. I think many of the rock stars and people that are in the world out there, they have the abilities that they have because it's been given to them. Been given to them. The power to make money has been given to them. The greed, the inspiration to grab and to hold more. That's part of the world, isn't it? You look at God's people now that are in, that are saved. And Satan will confuse people and get them to go off in some fly-by-night religion or something else, won't they? Ever? Will he not? Has he done this? Have you ever seen somebody in one of God's churches that were snatched out of there by some... You heard of girlfriend and boyfriend religion? I used to talk about that a lot. A girl will come and join the church just because that guy's here. And they'll go to church and play like they're faithful. Or the guy will do the same thing. And then all of a sudden, they'll drag them off into some false religion or something, won't they? Did that happen? Have you ever seen that?
Yeah.
Now, is Satan messing with God's people?
Yeah.
All the time. He's always messing with God's people. He's messing with you. He's messing with you right now. He's always messing with God's people. If he can't take you to hell with him, he wants to mess your life up the best he can do. He will do that. So the Bible says what? Watch. For Satan is a what? A roaring lion seeking whom he may what? Devour. Are you safe from him? Ever? No. Only when you just keep your mind on Jesus. That's the only time. Now, if you're out there and you don't know the Lord as your Savior, and by the way, we were in page 211 in our systematic theology, but we went into my little pamphlet, page 211, Lectures in Systematic Theology by Thiessen. Now, if you're out there and you don't know the Lord, you are not your own. You're not your own. You are Satan's. We have two forces in this world, the force of Satan and the force of God. Now, both of those are supernatural forces, are they not? Now, Satan will try to keep you away from God, and if you are saved, he'll keep you trying to keep you from serving the Lord. What part of that are you in right now? Where are you? Where are you? Are you safe? Never safe. Always be alert. Watch. Put on what? The full armor of God that you may resist and stand against the devil. Because he's always going to be messing with you. Always. Satan. Satan. The author of destruction. The author of destruction. What song do we have there, Vincent?
Hymn 516.
If you're lost, give your life to Jesus and become His. And if you're saved, give your life to Jesus and let Him guide you through this maze of destruction and corruption and confusion in this world. Father, we send this message out today. We send it out in honor and glory to you. Forgive us for any failure and of our shortcomings and failings, and help us always to remember who we are wherever we go. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Mm-hmm.